And now we go to the KMUD News Public Affairs Hour, where we're bringing you the full 30-minute interview with Janine Jackson, Program Director of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, FAIR, and host of the syndicated radio show Counterspin, which airs Sundays at 1 p.m. on KMUD. FAIR is a national media watchdog group founded in 1986 that challenges media bias and censorship. It advocates for press diversity, exposes neglected stories, and defends journalists facing censorship. As a progressive organization, FAIR supports breaking up media conglomerates, strengthening public broadcasting, and promoting nonprofit news sources. It works with both activists and journalists, offering critiques and praise, and encourages the public to engage with media as active participants rather than passive consumers. Jackson discusses the importance of independent media and growing threats to public broadcasting, including efforts to eliminate funding for public media under proposals like Project 2025. KMUD's Lauren Schmidt brings us this comprehensive interview.
Hi, Janine, and thank you for joining us on KMUD Radio for this special edition of Public Affairs during our spring membership drive. Before we dive into today's topic, if you want to start by introducing yourself and talking about FAIR.
My name is Janine Jackson, and I am the program director at FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, the Media Watch Group, and I am also for many years, decades, it turns out, the producer and host of Counterspin, which is FAIR's syndicated radio show that survives solely on the support of community radio stations like KMUD.
Can you speak to what sets FAIR apart from other watchdog organizations?
FAIR started in 1986. And I know that for a lot of listeners, that's a long time ago. But at that time, news media, which is what FAIR focuses on, news media were not really thought of as anything, controversial or complicated. In other words, news was something that was delivered to you as a service, as a citizen. And it was free of constraints. It was basically, this is what happened today that you needed to learn about. And so when FAIR, and obviously not FAIR alone, but when we stepped into the conversation in 1986, our message was to say, you know, the news that you're getting, the information that you're getting that is telling you not just what is happening around the world, but how to feel about it. That information is coming from corporations that are for-profit corporations. The stations that you're listening to are owned by those corporations, and the advertisers that are sponsoring that news program are also for-profit corporations. And so FAIR's message was just to say, be vigilant, be aware of the fact that this is not news from nowhere, that the factors, the forces that are bringing information about the world to you have interests, have influences. They want you to feel a certain way about things, and they would rather you not feel another way about things. And so just introducing that idea that news does not come from nowhere is basically the founding piece of FAIR's mission. And so in our general message is about corporate influence, the fact that newspapers, radio stations, TV stations are owned by for-profit corporations, and understanding the effects of that, the influence of that on the day-to-day coverage of the news has been very, very important to us. And then along the way, it's complicated because lots of things have happened. Lots of folks have said, well, yes, for-profit corporations are inclined to skew news events certain ways. We can accept that. So let's have some public media that will counter that. And in fact, that's what public broadcasting in the United States was meant to do. But for reasons that we can talk about, it's never been allowed to do that. And that's why 2025 conversations about public media are a little bit thorny, because you have to distinguish public media from what it was designed to be and set up to be in the Public Broadcasting Act of 1967, and the public media that we have today, which has not met all of those goals. So it's a little bit of a complicated conversation, but I can say, if no one hears anything else, we need to support community media that is neither influenced overwhelmingly by corporate dollars or by government, certainly in this White House, government influence. So, short answer to everything we might talk about, support community media and support community media based on who they are answerable to, who they listen to. Is it the community, or is it a private corporation, or is it, heaven forbid, Donald Trump? So think about the systems that create the media that you're listening to and how that affects the content.
Absolutely. And I want to address some of the concerns we've been hearing from our listeners and on social media to set the record straight. A small portion of our funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or the CPB. We are constantly saying resist corporate media and we do not have corporate donors. But when the public hears that 20 to 25% of our funding comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, people assume the worst. So let's start there. If you can explain what the CPB is, how it operates, and why it is critical to community radio stations like ours.
Well, you need to go back to the creation of public media and the feeling of the need to create it. So the CPB was created as a way to insulate public broadcasters from political intimidation. We talk a lot about corporate influence, and of course that's important, but if you go back to 1967, the idea was, we're going to create a space, and I wish everyone would look up this language from the Public Broadcasting Act. We're going to create a space that is going to be a forum for controversy and debate, and that is going to be, and this is the key part, specifically a place to hear voices and perspectives that commercial outlets don't want to support. So, in other words, there was an acknowledgement that corporations and commercial interests and private interests were going to be controlling, for good or for ill, the rest of the dial, the rest of the media. But we were going to stake out a space where whatever corporations were doing, there was going to be a space where folks who they didn't want to hear from were going to have a place. That was a beautiful idea, but very, very early on, that we're talking the Nixon administration, I know listeners, many of them were not alive, they started out of the jump to curtail what was meant to be a long leash. It was meant to be freedom from commercial concerns, and you're going to get 5 years before you need to go back to Congress for your funding. You're going to get 5 years to do what you're going to do as public TV, as public radio, to create this content. You do rely on public support, but you're going to go back every 5 years to get that support. Under Nixon, right out of the box, that leash was tightened to where public broadcasters needed to go every year back to Congress to enable their funding. And let me just sidestep and say this is a tiny amount of funding. Public radio and public media, and you get a tiny amount of funding from the public government. But even that amount of funding was considered a congressional football. So once they had to go back every year, well, then you had Bob Dole talking about how PBS is hiding behind Big Bird, while in fact, what they really want to do is shovel out funding for LGBTQ programming. You had it made, in other words, funding for public media meant to be protected has always been a political football in a way that it was not supposed to be. So that comes us up to the present moment, because the CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, was meant to be a heat shield. They were meant to protect media creators from this corporate influence and from this political influence, you know, from folks who were going to come in every year from wherever and say, I saw something on the TV and I didn't like it. And so therefore, I don't think we should pay any more money into this public media. CPB was meant to insulate, was meant to be a heat shield to protect this independent public media from that kind of interference. And so the point is, ever since it started, it's been twisted against that goal. It's been used as instead a political tool, you know, to push PBS, to push NPR, to bend over backwards, to provide programming that is more hospitable to the right, because they're the ones who are saying, hey, if you don't do that, we'll cut off your funding. So what I would like listeners to know is that the corporation, the poorly named Corporation for Public Broadcasting, was designed to be an entity that would both disperse funding to public media. And let's acknowledge that the U.S. spends less on public media than any other industrialized country in the world. But it was meant to protect that funding, disperse that funding. But out the gate, it's been forced to pay more attention to content than to control, which is what it was meant to do.
Diving deeper into that and the threats to public media we are currently seeing, many of the stations that air Counterspin are in this era of uncertainty when it comes to funding. I'm sure you're familiar with Project 2025 and the chapter that outlines the plan to eliminate public media funding. But my question for you is, why would this administration want to eliminate public media funding? And what other threats are currently unfolding that others may not be aware of?
You know, you're asking a question I ask myself. What is their end game? You know, what is the idea of shutting off all this information to folks? And even despite the fact that this is an old game, you know, as I indicated, you know, they've always been talking about, you know, public media as a sort of lefty pinko force that's, you know, distorting American minds. And it's hard to understand, given the tiny percentage of money, first of all, taxpayer money that goes to public media, again, versus other countries, but also when you look at the content of public media, what is it that they're so mad about? I mean, I wish I had a better answer, but I have to question, what is it that publicly funded media do? Well, and then we can ask, why are these particular folks so mad about it? Well, one of the things public media do, that they deliver news to remote, small, rural regions, right? To places that would not be profitable for a commercial place to produce for. So public media reach people who wouldn't be otherwise reached. They cover topics, you know, that are not necessarily attractive to advertisers and public media owners. So they fill a void, and they cover communities that are traditionally ignored by mainstream news organizations. That's what public media do, you know? And so we have to ask ourselves, why does this current administration see that as a threat? We're not talking necessarily about the content of what these outlets say. We're talking about where they are, you know? Some of them, it's like, well, they're rural regions, they're remote regions. You know, their communities. Why are we silencing whole communities and whole regions, you know, in a way that we're pretending is not about censorship? So I think that's the question for people to ask, you know, and it's so Just as a side note, because honestly, we can't take the things that these people say as what they're talking about as what they're actually talking about. The pretending from the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the others, the pretending is that NPR, for example, is lying about who is funding them. They're pretending they're funding by corp funded by corporations and viewers, but actually the government. So again, I would send people back to real data about the percentage of public media that comes from the government, and it's tiny. It's tiny. So before you even get yourself tangled up in an argument about public broadcast, what they do, ask whoever you're arguing with, wait, what are we talking about? How much money are we talking about? Because it's a tiny fraction of money. And what it tells us is they're afraid of what, forget public, they're afraid of what independent news media will do and can do. And that's where we need to place our focus.
Federal funding maintains independent coverage and journalism. But the people who are arguing against it are moving towards state media. The White House press secretary even characterized it as the era of new media, which gave me full body chills. We are seeing these folks who are against public media support censored state propaganda. How do you unpack that?
You know what? I wish I could. And that's where I use the word thorny, because this is the thing. We are very aware at FAIR and have documented for decades the influence of corporate ownership and corporate advertising on news media. And we have said, you know, what would be great would be to have some admixture of public media. Now that public, you know, and people have said, oh, you mean government, you mean the government, you mean Pravda. And we've said, well, no, actually, we just mean the use of government's power to distribute licenses, for example, to make sure that media is an ownership of news media outlets are not concentrated and that they are dispersed in a way that would contribute to a lively public conversation and debate about media. And that's what we've always meant about real public broadcasting, not the PBS and the NPR that we have seen, unfortunately, but the real public broadcasting that the Act of 1967 would have called for. So it sounds like it's complicated, but it's not that complicated. We still want the same thing. We still want news media that are independent of powerful corporate actors and ham-fisted government actors. Anyone who wants to say, if you don't say what you want us to say, we're going to take away your resources. We're going to deny your right to exist. Anyone who has the hold of the bottom line and will say, oh, you're not serving our bottom line, so click off. That's why we talk about listener-supported, community-supported radio, because it's not easy. It's not easy, but it is bottom up instead of top down. It's about ensuring that media are responsive to community and not responsive to powerful corporate actors or owners. It's not easy. It's a conversation that we need to have, but I think at this point, we do understand what we don't want. And what we don't want is the US government saying, we're going to decide whether or not you deserve to keep your license based on the content that we see you producing and whether or not it agrees with us. We know we can't have that. And that's why I always say to folks who have a community radio station that they listen to, but they're like, you know what, every Tuesday they do this show and I really hate it. It's like you're not calling for support for voices that you agree with. You're calling for support for spaces, platforms that exist where you can possibly hear voices that are counter to the powerful forces in society who in 2025 are deeply, deeply invested in shutting you up.
I think, to be fair in our conversation, the CPB and public media are not without its faults. I think it's important to highlight that, especially with your specialized area of advocacy. You have even criticized other public media stations. Of course, two things can be true at the same time. So can you elaborate?
Public media and television and radio have been kind of under a heavy hand, as we've indicated, since they began. And it's not to say that they have not done not just great programming, but genuinely programming that you would not have heard in commercial media. I know a lot of folks who say, I just listen to NPR or to PBS because people aren't yelling at each other, because people get more than 30 seconds to speak. That's a value. And I want to put a pin in that. That is a value. Now, I do want to say the short leash that public broadcasting has been given since the beginning has meant that they have they've relied overwhelmingly on corporations. Maybe they don't call them commercials, but they still are funding them. And that's mean we've seen a whole lot of programming that is just not good journalism. I mean, I think of Nova, you know, where they talk about a Nova show. It's a PBS show. It's a public broadcasting show. And the show tells us that, you know, drones are really excellent, you know, and then at the very end, they say, oh, by the way, the show is sponsored by Lockheed Martin, which makes the drones, you know, that we've talked about. That's a failure. That's a failure, because public broadcasting was about avoiding that, precisely that kind of conflict. So when you do a show about drones and you don't talk about the fact that your sponsor makes drones, that's a problem. That's a problem. But then generally, when FAIR has looked at sources in PBS programming, and this goes back to the beginning of FAIR, we have found that these public broadcasting outlets, despite being tasked with being an alternative, have instead reproduced the same voices, the same perspectives that we have seen in other commercial media. So they're not doing the job just by letting people speak for 3 minutes instead of 10 seconds. That's not doing the job of providing an alternative. That's not doing the job of providing a countervailing voice that will allow people to understand that the big narrative that they're hearing from corporate controlled media and corporate controlled advertising, that's not the only worldview. Public broadcasting was meant to tell us that's not the only worldview, and to illuminate the other worldviews that they are. They've not been doing that. But taking more of their way of their funding is just going to ensure that they don't do that in the future, which is why we have to support truly independent media, which might be reliant on your $5, which might be reliant on your supportive email, which might be reliant on your telling folks, you know, at the diner, hey, there's a good station that you should listen to. We don't have it figured out how to finance the media that we need. We're trying to figure it out now, and we need everybody's voices in.
Well, I'm happy to report that our station and many other similar stations are underwritten in part by pizza shops, taquerias, and general stores, and of course, our community members and listeners. But the CPB has been critical, providing a matching grant of what we receive in donations, which is how we are able to continue our work, especially having an independent newsroom in a small, rural, grassroots radio station, which honestly is almost unheard of. I know we are nearing the bottom of the hour, but what would the rural media landscape look like across the country without CPB support? How can the public continue to support public media? And what do journalists need to do to protect it?
You know, I think about this a lot, obviously, and I do believe with my whole heart, you have to support the community media that you have. You have to get in touch with those folks. You're not going to reinvent the wheel. Everyone is trying to learn how do we have mechanisms to speak to one another around and without corporate media that we've decided we have questions about. So this is maybe it's new territory. Maybe it involves going out to a meeting that you've not been to before, but it starts with supporting the community media that you have, right? And then you can say, well, all right, maybe they need more of maybe I would love more content from this show about farming issues. Maybe I'd like more content about tariffs. Maybe I would. But when you have an outlet that is local, that is community, well, then you have a two-way street. You can talk to those folks, you know, in a way that you cannot talk to NBC. So start local, build up from there, but begin with the idea that you deserve a two-way street, that news media is not something that's just meant to be funneled into your house. It's something you're supposed to have some say in creating. I think it's a new idea for folks, but you know what? We're in 2025. We're waking up to some new ideas.
Janine Jackson, I want to thank you again for coming on KMUD Radio, host and producer of Counterspin and the executive director of FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. It's been an honor to speak with you.
My pleasure.
That concludes our KMUD News Public Affair Hour. Thank you for tuning in to our full interview with Janine Jackson, Program Director of FAIR and host of Counterspin. If you enjoyed this program and others on KMUD, please support local journalism and independent media. Call 707-923-3911 now to become a member and help us resist corporate media. Thank you for listening and for supporting KMUD.
Hi, folks. This is Daniel Mintz from KMUD's News Department. My beat is county government, and that's only one part of the wide-ranging local news KMUD reports on reliably and independently every weekday. And when there's an emergency, like an earthquake or a wildfire, you can count on KMUD to keep you informed. And KMUD counts on its listeners to ensure it can continue. So call 707-923-3911 to make a pledge. It's much appreciated.